Welcome to the world of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, where it's all about muscle, health, history, training, nutrition, bodybuilding, and state of mind.
Hey, listener, we're back with another episode of The World of Muscle. I am one of your hosts, Tamash, and the other host is Randy. Hey, Randy, how's it going?
Good.
This episode came about kind of all of a sudden when Randy sent me an email of an interview with Dave Draper, where he kind of outlines his philosophy or principles to training. Actually, when did you get that interview, or when did you read it? You mentioned it was kind of old, so what made you read it recently?
The interview, I believe, was from 2004, but I get Dave's newsletter each week,
mm-hmm.
and I've got to confess, I don't get the chance to read them all the time, but I did read this one, and it was an interview from 10 years ago, and I just got a real kick out of it, because Dave has a unique writing style, unique to himself. And I block and paste a quote, but I also sent you another quote from volume 2 of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, where I tell some of Dave's story. I thought you could maybe I got a real kick out of that quote as well. Do you have that in front of you?
Yes.
This is from chapter 1 in volume 2 of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors, where I'm talking about Joe's boys, Dave Draper and Arnold. Because before Arnold, it was Dave Draper. We can talk a little bit more about Dave, but read this quote you have there.
Okay. Well, I may not do it justice because he does write very well, and it's a very, I don't know if I can read it the same way, but here is my best try. The experience of the 60s was matchless and is palpable today. Sunshine, blue sky, ocean air, Muscle Beach simplicity, Mr. America innocence. Hollywood and Holly Weird. Zabo, Joe Gold, Gironda, Scott, and Holworth. The originals and their proteges. There was no line in the sand. Bodybuilding was like a child sitting at the water's edge, delighted and splashing. No one took it seriously. It'll just go away, they said. The 60s rolled on. Vietnam, dope, politics, journalism, drugs, greed, power, and evil emerged. The world got smaller. Then, as the decade faded to gray, the child got up and walked away. Iron Man, March 2001.
Yes, Iron Man 2001. So it's 14 years ago when I read that. You know, it's almost like a poem. And I said, I have to put this in because I just like the way he captures
everything, pretty much.
He just encapsulates it in this little microcosm, and it sounded great. So when I was reading his interview, like I said, before we get into his interview, Dave was Joe Weider's original California boy. Even though he came from New Jersey, I think Dave is about 73 now. He's born about 1942. And he won Mr. New Jersey in 1963, and then Joe set up an office, and Joe Weider had his office in New Jersey, United States, and he was opening up an office in California, and he sent Dave out there in the spring of 1963, and Dave kind of arrived on the California scene at a time when bodybuilding was shifting kind of from east to west, and even the Muscle Beach from Santa Monica, underground transition from the weights, all that equipment that was on the beach, kind of went over into the dungeon where Dave trained in the basement, what he called the dungeon. And he's written a lot about that. But, you know, he was that man that Dick Tyler wrote about in Muscle Builder. Dave was Joe's main guy. In 2019-60, he was plastered all over the magazines. He won the Mr. America in 1965. He won the Mr. Universe in 1966. And then he won the Mr. World in 1970. But Dave was the first guy that just show up on mainstream TV. Most of the guys my age, I'm 56. But they remember Dave because he showed up and he was training for Mr. Universe in 66 while he was filming a major motion picture with Tony Curtis and Claudia Carnell and Sharon Tate called Don't Make Waves. And he also showed up in 1968 in the episode of the comedy series The Beverly Hillbillies and the Monkees. And he looked Awesome. I think out of all the bodybuilders that have ever been on TV, I think Dave has one of the best looks, even though like he lost to Schwarzenegger and Sergio on some competitions. But when you look at this, the guy you see on in those films, he looked really, really good. But
the fact that he was from Jersey and he grew up on the East Coast, he totally had was touted to be the West Coast, the California look. He had blonde hair, he had muscles, he was tall.
Yeah, it's all media spin. Dick Tyler, but there was a little bit of controversy. Joe Waiter said he gave Dave the name the Blonde Bomber, but Dick Tyler, who wrote for Muscle Builder from 65 to 71, he said no, he gave him the name the Blonde Bomber. And he drew up that character. He made the California Dave Draper come alive in the magazines. And I can remember vividly, he was all over the pictures with Betty Weider. And I'm quite sure he was in the back covers of hockey magazines up here in Canada. I was really into hockey back then. I'm pretty sure those ads with Draper were in the hockey magazines as well. So he was the face of Weider bodybuilding until he and...
End of 60s, right? Early 70s.
Even when he and Joe split in 1969-70, especially in 1970 after he won the Mr. World, Joe was still using his image, because I was buying magazines in 73, 72, and 73, and Dave was still all over them. But Arnold had by that time taken over the number one role as Joe's boy, and Arnold was building up that fame, and he went from there. But Dave just had that look, and we didn't realize he had such a unique writing style until years later, because he disappeared from the scenes. He reemerged in the late 1980s. He opened up a gym. He married his current wife, Laurie, and he put up his newsletter and a lot of articles, and he has this way of writing. And when I read this interview from 2004, I really liked it, because we live in today, weight training is, and just life in general, is just a big numbers game, right? It's also supposed to be so scientific.
Before you go there, there's also a TV show. I believe it's the E! True Hollywood Story on Dave. So there's a whole biography of Dave,
yes,
for an hour. And is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think it's the E! Network, and it's his story. Dennis Tenorino does a lot of talking in that one as well. And they have Joe Weider there. That might have been done in the late 90s or early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it's most likely online. I would guess it's online. Somebody sent me a DVD, because I had watched it several times, because I went through it when I was writing about Dave in Volume 2. It's a good show.
I'll find it and see if I can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll link to it in YouTube. We're talking about right now as well.
Yes.
But with that interview, like I said, we live in a culture that defines us, our health and our fitness, all by numbers. You know, you have a certain heart rate, pulse rate, blood pressure, VO2 max, you know, your cholesterol levels, you know, everything's done by numbers. You can feel really good, but the medical field will tell you your numbers, will try to tell you you're sick. But Dave, in this interview, I thought...
Let's actually add that in there, that if not enough people are sick, then they'll just change those numbers.
And yeah, they do. They're lowering the numbers so they get more people into the sick list than on the drugs. But Dave just kind of cuts through the bullshit. You got to read. You got another quote there.
He simplifies it all. Okay, let me. So this is from the interview. Science is for scientists. So one of the questions was about him and how much of science he used and how much of it is art. So he goes into science is for scientists. I don't regard weight training any more of a science than the ordinary act of growing from childhood to adulthood. You naturally gather and assimilate information from your environment and apply it in a positive direction. Crawling and growing up, squats and curls. You practice it, organize it, observe and expand it, improve it, and grow. The more I intellectualized, the less I understood my training. The more I questioned what I did, the less confident I was. The more I researched, the more tedious the act became. Do it is my credo. That doesn't work. Do it again another way.
Exactly. He just cuts through the bullshit. Like, you know, sometimes you just got to listen to yourself and not all the experts out there. And don't get me wrong, this science has been applied to bodybuilding, weight training, resistance training, fitness industry galore. But sometimes you just have to simplify things. And he just throws me back to that era, and that philosophy is so much that resonates with me often. So that's why I sent you that interview. And I think people should just, step back, take a breather, and read Dave's interview that we'll have a link to at the end of this.
In the show notes, I'll put them in. And it is, and after I read it, I was kind of thinking of, holy crap, sometimes I overthink things. And it turns you into this, what's the term? You get paralysis by analysis. Right? Yeah, is this the right thing, or should I be doing this, or one more set, or no more set? Is this the optimal way of doing it, or am I underdoing it? Am I overdoing it?
And you and I, neither one of us really train like Dave or even eat like Dave, but it doesn't matter. It's the concept, it's the philosophy that he's putting forth, and this it's not so complicated, right?
He simplifies it.
Yeah,
literally, he embodies the just do it phrase.
Yeah, and that's kind of the takeaway of this podcast. Like, I mean, the vast majority of people out there are not training for the Olympics. They're not training for Olympic lifting or powerlifting. They're just training for fitness and to build muscle and to be healthy. And they don't have to complicate things. And they can just sit back, sometimes just do what they feel they want to do. You know, you do good resistance training, you get good rest, you eat well. And typically
the benefits are there. Your energy levels are up. You're stronger. You can handle the daily stress of life easier. And, a side effect of it is you just look better.
Exactly. So that was all I wanted to put forth for today's show.
I actually had a couple of questions that I didn't want to interrupt you with. Sure. One, I remember you telling me your inspiration to pick up barbells. And I also recall Dave Draper had something to do with it. How did that begin?
Well, most of the guys my age would have seen Dave Draper. Steve Reeves preceded him, but Steve Reeves did some movies in the late 50s where you had to stay up to 1 o'clock in the morning back in the 1960s or 70s to catch a Hercules movie. But Dave Draper showed up on The Monkees and The Beverly Hillbillies, which were prime time. So I was only 8, 9 years old when I saw Dave, but I was also inspired by my next door neighbor, Bob Zarzycki. At about the same time where Bob was one of the few guys up here in, you know, Waterloo, Canada, in around 1966-67, working out with weights, and he looked great. But yeah, it was Bob and then Dave Draper, who I saw, and everybody identified with Dave from that era before he kind of drifted from the scene and Arnold came up.
And I remember one of my friends, online friends, Jeff Preston, has a very vivid memory of seeing Draper's arms in a magazine, and that really got him started, and he hasn't stopped since. And that was back in the 70s.
Just reminded me, in this book one of volume 3, Mike Mensur, this was almost like I wrote, it was like almost like a religious experience for a young Mike Mensur in 1965. He went to that year's first Mr. Olympia, and he got caught in the elevator with Dave Draper and Larry Scott. Can you imagine? I got a 14, 15-year-old kid getting caught in the same elevator with those two at that age, being so enamored with bodybuilding. Like, I mean, it didn't get any better than that.
At that time, no.
Yeah.
And one wonder what would happen today if a 14-year-old kid got caught in one of the winners of the current contest.
You're like Fred Flintstone trying to pound on the elevator door to get out.
Oh, who knows?
Yeah. Was there another question?
Yes. How old is Dave Draper?
Dave was born in April 1942, so I guess that makes him 73 years old.
And according to his newsletters, he's still training.
Yeah, like I say, he's still running, but I mean, I know everybody does it. He doesn't hide it. He's had some health problems. I don't know exactly how well he's doing, but I hope he's doing well. And in that era, like even like Bill Pearl is 84. You know, I think Boyer Coe's come up at 69 this year. Don Howard's going to be 80. You know, like that crew that we grew up, you know, as young aspiring bodybuilders, that gang is all at that outer edge now.
This actually takes me back to 2005 when I went to the Arnold Classic in Columbus. That's where I met Dave and Larry when he was receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Okay.
And Bill Pearl was there too. He was at the Life Fitness booth, and I believe on a Saturday, because the expo is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I went to speak with him because I had a question for a friend of mine who was a vegetarian at the time. So he asked me to ask Bill Pearl if I saw him. about protein intake for vegetarians. So I went up to him, introduced myself. He introduced himself, and I asked him my question. He answered very nicely. We had a little bit of a cordial talk. And then I said, I thanked him and went my way. Then somehow I went by on Sunday by the booth, walked by.
Your name, right?
He waved at me and hey, and he called me by my name.
Yeah.
That blew me away.
Yeah, he does. He remembers people's names for after 10, 15 years. We've only met him once. He's got this ability. There are techniques of doing it. I don't know what if he has specific techniques, but he just seems to remember everybody's name from years gone by. Yeah, it makes you feel good, doesn't it?
It definitely did. And I also spoke with Dave at the dinner. Thanks to Sean Perrine and Peter McGuff.
Yeah.
I was invited to that dinner and sat down with Dave. Blown away at how humble he was and how pleasant it was to talk with him. Just about anything.
Yeah, I never got the opportunity to speak with him. When I was looking to interview him back in 2002, I think I caught him at a bad time where he had done a couple of interviews I don't think he was happy with. And I pushed a bit more. And Laurie was going to get, she said she's going to get on him to do it. But then I said, you know what, I'm almost done. Don't worry about it. You know, it's just not that big a deal. But I said, if I go into a book, I wouldn't mind interviewing him. I still didn't interview him, but we exchanged emails. And he gave me some good responses that I know he took time to think about it. And I was very happy, and they went in the book, right? Because they were good responses in our exchanges. So I was happy to at least do that, but I never did ever get a chance to speak with him.
Well, I wish him well. I mean, he is definitely a force to be reckoned with even now.
He's an icon.
He's an icon. He's still inspiring people. Yeah. You know, when did you first see him? So 63.
68.
Like 50 plus years later, he's still inspiring people. And his biggest takeaway that I got is the consistency and persistence and perseverance. You just do it.
Yeah, he had some hard times. He came back, fought back from him, and really became very, very successful. He had two runs. He had two runs at the sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 1960s and then from the 90s onwards, he just became an even bigger presence. I wouldn't say that because he was huge back in the 60s. But another significant presence of giving a lot of information, writing books.
Yeah, he's publishing.
Online is a big. He's got a big website full of information and stuff like that.
And he's got his own supplement line. I mean, he is a force to be reckoned with. I already said before.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Thank you. So the takeaway is. If you're ever questioning the number of reps, the number of sets, the weights, the fraction this, the fraction that, just think about Dave's words of just doing it, feeling it, and try not to complicate it too much because that'll take the fun out of it.
Exactly.
Thanks, Randy.
Okay, we'll talk
later. We'll talk. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the World of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors. We hope you've enjoyed the content of this episode, and we're looking forward to sharing more next time.